Today we are joined by two very special guests as we continue the discussion of womanhood. This is We the Exiles.
We will not build the church according to the changing whims of an ungodly culture. We will change that ungodly culture by the power of the immutable gospel.
Welcome to the We the Exiles podcast. I am your host, as always, Cameron Wood. And joined, as always, is my co-host and brother, Chandler Wood.
What is up?
We appreciate you joining us today. In this podcast, we examine Christian culture in the light of Scripture. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, and our goal is to help others be bold and stand firm in a world that is increasingly anti-Christ.
And with that, we pray, Jesus Christ, may you be glorified and give us wisdom to speak clearly and boldly about your unchanging truth.
So, I thought, you know, this to start this podcast episode out, we could do a current event.
Yeah.
Something that's been, I guess, kind of current lately, especially in the SBC or just surrounding the church in general, is Beth Moore. It's kind of been controversial, I'd say, over the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm. For us, for a lot longer.
Yeah, that's true. If you are on the Twitterverse or have, or in light of current events, especially in relation to the church, you've probably seen things surrounding Beth Moore, particularly her scrutiny of or an advocacy of feminism and egalitarianism. You've probably also seen you've seen a lot of things surrounding that and discussion that surrounded that. But recently, this article, we found this article, and this was from a couple of weeks ago. This comes from us from ReformationCharlotte.org, and the author is Jeff Maples, but it's posted on June 24th, and it says, Beth Moore refuses to denounce homosexuality as sinful. Beth Moore has been under scrutiny for the last several weeks due to her outspoken advocacy for feminism and egalitarianism in the Southern Baptist Convention. Moore has been highly critical of the biblical position of gender roles and has denied God's command for women to remain silent during church and has instead taken on the stage to preach not only to women but to men. In recent weeks, Beth Moore has been partnering with several notable homosexual activists, including Jonathan Merritt, the gay son of former Southern Baptist President James Merritt, and Preston Sprinkle, one of the organizers of the gay Christian conference Revoice. Gay-affirming lady preacher Jen Hatmaker has, as well, the late Rachel Held Evans were regular cheerleaders for Beth Moore. A group of women Bible teachers, those of a rare breed who actually not only rightfully handle the scriptures but only teach to women, penned an open letter to Beth Moore calling on her to clarify her position on homosexuality. And the letter reads, the last few years, particularly since 2016, you have been very vocal in your opposition to misogyny and racism. Anytime a story with so much of a whiff of the issue comes to the forefront, you are very quick to speak out. The actions of the Covington kids, for example, you said, is so utterly anti-Christ it reeks of the vomit of hell. In a January 1929 tweet, a tweet you deleted without an apology to the kids, once the full video was shown that portrayed a very different reality than what initial reporting suggested. It is this Johnny-on-the-spot readiness to engage issues related to misogyny and racism that makes your virtual silence on the issue of homosexuality so puzzling. And indeed so, Rachel Moore hasn't responded to this letter that these women wrote to her in regards to that. And that's
Beth Moore?
Yeah, Beth Moore hasn't responded yet. But what they're calling for, they just want her to, I guess, tackle the issue because it is such a prominent issue and because she is speaking out on these other areas, specifically when there's something in the press or in the mainstream media that's in relation to something quote-unquote misogynistic or racist, she's quick to do it, which, I mean, that makes sense. Those are hot bullet points in our culture right now. And so I guess they're wanting her to speak on the issue of homosexuality since she is such a prominent voice right now. And so anyway, that's very interesting. I mean, if you've kept up with the things that have gone on the last couple of months, especially with her, like it says, her advocacy for or denied God's commands for women to remain silent, then this may not be that surprising, but still, for me, for a while now, I've never really been a big fan of Beth Moore. Mm-hmm. I always tread lightly, and this is not to say specifically because we've been having this discussion on womanhood. It's not to say that women don't have places in ministry. We're very upfront about that. Women have a very important role in ministry. We have talked about that, discussed it, continue to discuss it. It's more so just in regards to God's word and how he outlines how these things are supposed to play out. Yeah. that bothers me. And when it comes to like women who have their faces plastered on merchandise and Christian bookstores, or when it comes to women who have these high and lofty quote unquote roles, I'm weary. Mm-hmm. Always been weary. And that's not because I value women less. It's just because anytime we've, like with anything, when we eschew or blur the lines of God's definitions of how things are supposed to go, that's when things start to kind of go downhill, mm-hmm. or take a wrong turn. And so specifically, not to just call Beth Moore on this or to say she's non-Christian or whatever, but just to kind of address the importance of standing firm on the things that God has outlined in his word.
Yeah, and being bold in those issues and not being afraid that you're going to offend people, because like we've stated before on the podcast, when you stick to scripture and you stand firm on God's word, it will inevitably offend people. The offense to people should, you know, if God is drawing people to himself, that offense is good, because we see our sinful nature and we look and we evaluate our own lives and turn to God if we're in the wrong. Beth, it says that it appears that Beth Moore has made a half-witted, half-hearted attempt to divert the focus of the question by giving the impression that she was answering the question without actually addressing the issue at hand. In her response, she refuses to directly answer the question, is homosexuality a sin, and instead quotes a scripture that does not mention homosexuality. This is what Beth Moore tweeted. I've lived long enough to know what I want out of life. My aim is to live in love in imitation of Jesus. Though I daily fail, I'm resolute in the pursuit. It is not that I do not care about what you think, or it's not that I don't care about what you think or what looks like to you. It's that I care incomparably more what he thinks. The moment I can figure out who Jesus doesn't love and did not give his life for and would have refused to be seen with, I'll do my best to start shunning them immediately. There's no one on earth Jesus should have shunned more than me. Instead, he's loved me shamelessly for 6 decades. Do I still call sin sin? Robustly so. In fact, I align with Paul on this whole list of grievous sins. And then she quotes, now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians 5. And then the last tweet was just this single tweet. Full stop. And at the end of this article, they said, full stop, Beth Moore straddles the fence so as not to offend her homosexual friends while trying to stay relevant in the Southern Baptist circles. There's no doubt that Beth Moore has led many homosexuals astray. While she says she doesn't shun people because she doesn't know of anyone that Jesus doesn't love or died for, she sure is quick to shun critics of her terribly flawed theology.
Is that article from the same Reformation?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. This is the response that you get. First, you're not going... It's to be expected when you're playing buddy-buddy with the world, mm-hmm. these responses. And I also always find it interesting how people respond, because there she uses a very prominent scripture in light of what we're called against as mm-hmm. Christians, both men and women. But yet she won't herself vocally say these things. And why is that?
Yeah, I always wonder, you know, typically this is the response. People always go back to God. Jesus is love. Jesus loved everyone. And yes, we love people, but we can call sin what sin is.
And she said, and she says it. She says, well, what I call sin, sin, robustly so. Well, if that's the case, then why can't you say homosexuality is sinful? Making that statement isn't necessarily a bold statement. It's a statement that is clear in God's word. Yeah. It's not one that you have to be like, well, I'm going to quote scripture that says these things are against it, and I'm going to say sin is sin, but I'm not going to say particularly that word is sinful because, well, I'll tell you what, because I don't want to lose book sales. I don't want to lose popularity. I don't want to lose all these people coming and admiring me for mm-hmm. what I do and what I teach.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. And just real quick, here's like the questions from that letter, and I just wanted to say that these women are asking. And these are bold questions, and they're fairly simple to answer if you're answering from a biblical worldview. Question one is, do you believe homosexuality is inherently sinful? That's one of the questions from that letter these women wrote to her. Yes, it's sinful because it goes against God's design and God's instruction. So that's not that hard to outline. Second, do you believe that the practice of homosexual lifestyle is compatible with holy Christian living? No,
mm-hmm.
because it's sinful, and anything sinful isn't holy. So, no, you can't make sinful compatible with holiness, sin mm-hmm. at all. Do you believe a person who dies as a practicing homosexual but professes to be a Christian will inherit internal life? That is a little bit more of a robust question. I would say that if you are a Christian and you have struggled with homosexuality, because homosexuality is sinful, you should not make a practice of it.
Yeah. I think if someone is practicing it and
openly practicing it, then I would say they haven't really truly repented of that sin.
But coupling it with this idea of being a Christian.
Right.
I think people create their own gods when their own version of Christianity.
Right. It's more so looking at this from a point of view, are you acknowledging that homosexuality is sinful? And if that is where you're starting from, then you can't practice that as a Christian.
Yeah.
Do you believe same-sex attraction is in and of itself an inherently sinful, unnatural, and disordered desire that must be mortified?
Yes.
Which is, I mean, the mortification of sin by John Owen is pretty clear about that. Because we say that, same-sex attraction is in us because of our innate desire to sin. It is mm-hmm. not all of us have that sin or that struggle, because we're not all the same. Each of us have different struggles when it comes to sin, but all of us are sinful.
Right.
And so this is the same-sex attraction. So I would say the same-sex, the attraction itself is a diversion of God's natural design, but the sinful act comes into play when you act upon that attraction.
Right.
When you actually go into sinful. And if you are, you're a Christian, man or woman, discerning this, it is a disordered desire, and you have a call to kill sin as a Christian. You're supposed to be killing sin. Last question, why have you been so silent on the subject in light of your desire to teach the word of God? I would say she's silent, like we said before, because
she's afraid
of losing popularity, probably more so than anything. I would say maybe she has an elevated fear of man over fear of God.
Yeah, and so it's not intentional that this topic keeps coming up. It just, the topic of homosexuality, we've mentioned it several times over the past couple episodes, and it's mainly just because, we were just in Pride Month in June, and so a lot of things have probably been surrounding that. But if you haven't listened to our episode 12, we address homosexuality as our topic in the full of the episode, and we asked the question, did Jesus address homosexuality, which he did, and we talk about that. So if you haven't heard that one and you're hearing us talk, you know, just a little bit about it here, go listen to that one. It gives a more clear definition.
Yeah, and I would say, too, that because we're bringing it up doesn't mean that this is the mainstay sin that we want to discuss on this show or just completely harp on homosexuality. It does happen to be a a big one in our culture surrounding us now, especially in the West, in our Western culture and within the church, but it is sin nonetheless, just like adultery is sin, just like lying is sin. Yeah. It is sinful. It is contrary and against God. It is an act of unholiness and unrighteousness, and God seeks for holiness, and that's what we're doing with our discussion.
And we bring up, we bring up Beth Moore, and we're going to bring up people like that in the Christian circles, because we think it's important for you to think critically about what you're taking in. And we know so many people are blinded to these things, and they just go
right. Not as a way for us to stand up on like this righteous high horse, because we're not, but more so to bring light, because it is surprising how many people are unaware of things surrounding a lot of these popular teachers today. And it's more so that we just value the highest standard that there is, the standard laid out by God in His Word. And in our lives, we strive for holiness, not because we're good, but because Christ in His love, mercy, and grace has given us a new life. And that within us, the Holy Spirit within us, is what's pushing us to pursue holiness. And so we want to encourage and call people to that same standard, especially, well, call Christians to that same standard.
Yep. Well, when we return from the break, we have some very special guests that are joining us as we continue the discussion of womanhood, which we talked about in our last episode. So stay tuned.
Where did you get that mug?
This thing? I thought you'd never ask. I got this sweet mug becoming a supporter of the We the Exiles podcast over at patreon.com. Becoming a supporter is easy. For $10 a month, you can support the We the Exiles podcast and the ministry of Seeker and Servant. Only $10. Not only do I feel satisfied drinking out of this amazing mug, but it brings me joy knowing that I'm supporting a Christ-exalting ministry. Head on over to patreon.com/seekerandservant. That's patreon.com/seekerandservant, and become an exile today.
Order up!
The main dish!
Today on the podcast, we thought in light of recent discussions, we would bring on some very big guests. They play an important role in both of our lives. They are, other than Christ, the most important people in our lives. They keep us both in check, and we are both very lucky to run the race of life with them. It is our pleasure to welcome our wives, Casey and Reagan Wood, on the show today. How you doing, ladies?
Hey.
Hey.
Doing great.
Good. So, we thought to start things off, we would ask you this question. What is it like being married to us?
Oh, boy.
It's an adventure.
I agree, Reagan. An adventure, for sure.
That's yes. So the listeners know, they're very nervous to be on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Casey doesn't do very well speaking. It's not, and not even in front of people.
Not at
just
all.
On the show.
Reagan, can you can you elaborate more on what it's like to be married to me?
Can I elaborate more? I never know what to expect coming from you.
That's true.
There's always surprises.
What is the most interesting thing about Chandler?
I'm weird.
Well, that's
probably.
That's a known thing, though.
It's very weird. Not in a bad way.
Here's a good question. What characteristic of his do you value the most?
I value his humility a lot.
Awesome.
He's very humble in a lot of ways, and I admire that.
This is not a show to make me prideful.
I'm not. I'm just asking her. Won't you ask Casey the same question? I asked Casey some questions about me.
Casey, elaborate more on a characteristic of Cameron that you value.
He is very strong-willed.
You value that characteristic?
Sure, but it's in a good way. You're a good leader. You're a good leader because I'm a big follower. So I appreciate your leadership and your love for the Lord, definitely, in leading our family. And sometimes whenever you don't aggravate me, I feel like something's wrong with you. But I know...
We're both aggravating. Yeah, we're both big aggravators. what's the most interesting thing about me that you can think of on top of your head?
Oh gosh.
You can
probably
say
your dance moves.
Oh. Don't want to talk about those too much on the air.
Yeah, Chandler has some of those too.
Yeah. It's just in us, you know. We don't really dance I only dance at home. So well, good. That allows people to kind of see a little bit more in depth to the lives of who we are and you guys. Well, obviously, we're talking about womanhood. That was what our last podcast was on. And so now we wanted to have two people who we know value biblical womanhood and just kind of get a real life picture of what that looks like. So let me ask you this question on a more serious note. Could you both speak to your view on womanhood? Was biblical womanhood something you always desired, or was this shaped later in life for you? And y'all can take turns or together, whatever's convenient.
Okay. For me, I grew up in a home that valued that, and so I was kind of taught that at a young age, so I had that mindset going into adulthood. But through, you know, my teenage years and stuff, I struggled some with desiring more worldly paths and things. But the Lord has worked in my heart and has really given me a desire for biblical womanhood and in my marriage and my parenting.
Casey? Yeah, that's awesome. I had a different kind of growing up. Like, we went to church. My mom took us to church, but my dad never did. So that was really grown in me probably later on in my life when the Lord really started working on me later on, probably like late teens. Mm-hmm. And when I met Cameron, we were both 17. Mm-hmm. So probably at that age and thinking about marriage after we really got serious with each other. And so I had the Lord working on me later on in my life after I got saved.
Would you, this kind of relates to mine, cause I had this next question was in relation to the y'all's different context. Cause you know, yes, Casey, you have a very different background from Reagan. But maybe mm-hmm. speaking a little bit more about that, let's see, can you talk about what you might see differently now and talk about that specifically in relation to womanhood versus, let's say, before you were married? And this can also relate for you, Casey, in your college years, too.
Yeah, all right, is that question?
It's for both of y'all. I want to different context because y'all both grew up different, like what y'all kind of related to, mm-hmm. but maybe speak more specifically on how differently you see womanhood now versus then. Because you're both married now, so.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
It changed probably like 180 degrees change for me because I went to school, I went to college and stuff and did a lot of things that were not biblical at all. And once Cameron and I actually got back together, we knew we wanted to get married, and that's when my view really changed, like getting married and having a family. That's what I realized, that's what I wanted to do. That's what God had made me to do. And all the other views of like, oh, you have to go to school and you have to get a career and you have to do all these things didn't really matter anymore. And I knew I wanted to be married to Cameron, and I knew that I wanted to be a mom whenever the Lord wanted us to have children, which was 6 weeks into our marriage. So that happened.
We didn't have children 6 weeks into our marriage because that means we would have gotten pregnant before marriage.
Well,
we had pregnant 6 weeks into our marriage. I didn't want people to think, you know, we were doing the stuff outside of marriage.
We were pregnant 6 weeks into our marriage.
Yeah, and I think for Reagan, she grew up with more kind of a biblical mindset of what womanhood is.
Yeah.
And so the struggle for her was wanting what the culture said.
Right. So, mm-hmm. So can you speak on that some, Reagan, like versus then now to being married?
Yeah, so growing up, I was taught to have that mindset, and that was what I desired. I never really wanted to be in the workplace or, you know, per se doing worldly like pursuits like that. I always knew I just wanted to be a mom and a wife, and I knew that that's where I would be happy. But when I got into my teenage years, I started caring a lot what people thought, and people would be like, oh man, you want to be just a mom? You don't want to go and, you know, do something great with your life? And so it made me think,
how dare you?
Right, exactly. So it made me be like, well, am I wrong for wanting to do that, you know? And so also going back when I was younger, I thought, talking about what I've learned since being married, I always thought it would be easy, you know, to be a wife and a mom, that I could do that in my own strength. But after, you know, being on this side, it is something that you have to go to the Lord with every day, because it is difficult. You know, it goes against a lot of like your flesh and the desires that you want selfishly. And so it's a difficult endeavor. Like, it's harder than I thought it would be, but it's a lot more rich than I thought it would be too. So if that answers the question.
Yeah. Speaking kind of in relation to our culture, if you could speak on womanhood in our culture, what would you say? Like, what do you see our culture defining womanhood as?
Independence.
Like a feminist view is like what women should be. Mm-hmm. But I think that is a delusional kind of view. Just
right.
Like you have to provide for yourself, and you have to be all these things that the culture tells us we have to be.
Independent woman.
Right. Well, and if you look in scripture, you know, the picture of a woman and womanhood that's drawn out is not that at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's not this strong, independent woman who's making a way for herself in the world. You know, it's something completely different. So I think as Christians, it's important to look at the scriptures and see what the Bible says about being a woman, because that's what the authority is. You know, that's where it comes from. So,
yeah, that's how we should define ourselves, not by what everybody else says we should.
Do you think
try to strive towards?
Do you think Christian women, women are looked down on as weak and wimpy?
I think that they can be, especially when you get around women who have more of like a feminist mindset.
Mm-hmm.
they can be very critical and condemning.
Mm-hmm. And we related to this some in our main womanhood podcast, but with the idea of feminism today, because the idea of feminism within itself is not necessarily bad in regards to women having the same equal value as men. Well, we know that that's true anyway, because we're both made in the image of God. We get that.
Yes.
It's more so nowadays where feminism's more so about not necessarily being equal with men. It's almost wanting to be more than, in a sense. And it's also a degradation or moving away from the original design that women were given by God. So feminism now isn't necessarily, if you go back even to like 80 years ago, the same definition of being valued. It's more so almost in a way of usurping headship, or the way that God has outlined that in scripture as well. So, that's in result of that, you guys attest to this too. You see the degradation or the moving away from the things that are valued. Being a mother, isn't as valued as getting a college degree and having a job. Those things necessarily aren't bad, and they're not necessarily sinful to pursue, but when a woman values being a mother or going to or having children and wanting to be a domestic engineer, as it were, and be at home, a stay-at-home mother, that's sorely looked down on, I would say, in comparison to the other. When both things can play a role, obviously, because Chandler and I value the Bible, we value God's truth. We have a huge, we're hugely in support of the role a woman plays in regards to the home, and then just, but would you guys say that we have in any way in the time that you've married? I know Casey and I've been married longer than you and Chandler Reagan, but would you say that we have in any way been misogynistic or have like ruled over you like an evil dictator?
Oh no, not at all.
Right. Well, that's what most people would say. The picture of it is.
Oh yeah. Right.
And submission.
Yeah. That's not it at all.
No. In fact, when submission and headship are played in the right roles, when we're leading and loving you the way we're supposed to, though we failed that a lot, the cycle, the way that God designed it, it's a beautiful thing. It makes for a really happy marriage, and it makes for a better marriage. I would say in case you can too, on our marriage, we have a great marriage. And our marriage, it's not because our marriage is rooted in worldly values. It's because our marriage is rooted in biblical values, biblical things that God cares about and dictates. And so
that's the only way we can have a good marriage.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to outdo one another in the sense of when it comes to a profession or career or in worldly pursuits. We are, however, supposed to try to outdo each other when it comes to grace and our pursuit of Christ.
Exactly. Yeah.
And as we record this today, it's Reagan and I's 2-year anniversary. And last night, we were talking about that same thing, just kind of recapping our 2 years. It's been a blast. It's been the best thing in the world. People have a very negative view on like going into marriage. People don't view marriage as a good thing or having kids as a good thing in our society, obviously. Mm-hmm. But seeing the ways that God has sanctified us in our marriage and how we're struggling and striving to live out the roles that he's called us to, one of the most rewarding things in this life and growing things.
Because when marriage, like God designed marriage as a picture between his love for the church, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when it's lived out in such a way that we're striving to do what the Lord has called us to do in the scriptures, then the husband is supposed to love his wife. Mm-hmm. And the wife is supposed to submit to her husband. And it's not something that is negative or that clashes, but it's a beautiful picture that fits together and that glorifies him in the way that he loves us as the body of Christ.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a overlording thing. Submitting to your husband is a joy.
No,
like,
exactly.
What God's word calls us to do.
Yeah, and I can speak when that's played out, specifically in our marriage, it's just a lot better for myself because the biggest encouragement that I have in my life, obviously, outside of like things I do with Chandler as my brother and things like that, or the church itself, is my wife. And so your encouragement towards me, especially in the pursuits of ministry things such as this podcast or the things we've done with Secret and Servant, encouraging me and encouraging us in that doesn't mean that you're weak or less valued. It actually helps us in return love you more.
Yeah.
And so that's how that picture works. It's not and your submission to us isn't like a medieval concept or this idea that we're that you're going to be treated unfairly if you don't listen to us. I mean, obviously that mandate is given to us by God and his word, but that submission is supposed to go in line with when we're submitting to Christ. So anything that we're laying down in our homes or teaching or laying to you is coming from our submission to Christ. And if it isn't, then that's where your role would play too, is keeping us in check as our wives.
Exactly. Because we're called to be helpmates. It's not something where we're just supposed to never say anything and we're just supposed to do everything right that our husband tells us to do. We're a helpmate to y'all. So, carry that role out.
What sort of encouragement could you give to your other sisters in Christ in relation to this?
I would say that it can be a really difficult thing sometimes. And I think there can be a lot of guilt if you feel like you're not doing it a certain way or the right way. Like, for instance, if a mom or something has a job or is working, that does not mean she's not, she's in sin or something.
Right.
I think the thing is just seeking the Lord and resting in Christ and getting into scripture and seeing what he says about womanhood and then seeing what that means for your life, and just resting in him and knowing that you're made righteous in his sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Playing out womanhood is not going to make you righteous, and you're not going to be able to do it perfectly. The peace and the rest comes from Christ and resting in him. So I would just say that.
How about you, Casey? You have anything you want to add? You're quiet. I would think my wife would be the loudest of the louds.
I'm not loud.
I know you're not. You balance our relationship out very well. So,
Well, thank you.
You just have to
trust the Lord, and not everyone will get married. Not every woman will be married and be a mom, and that's not sinful. Some women and men are called to singleness. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's a valuable thing too. But like, if you are just seeking the Lord, you have to read his word. And I fail at that a lot, but just through prayer and trying to just strive for holiness and in your marriage, in your parenting and everything in life, you just have to just continue on and trust the Lord.
All right. Well, ladies, it was a pleasure. Thank you guys for coming on, having the first, probably won't be the last time you guys are on the show, but it's a good opportunity. We're 16 episodes in now, but we're getting close to our 20th episode, so it's about time we introduced our wives to our audience.
Yeah. Right.
Again, thank you guys. We will see y'all in a bit when we return to our homes, but we appreciate it.
Okay, thank y'all. Yeah.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Leaving Shadowland, Seeker and Servant's newest EP, including the singles Where Would I Be and Fear of Missing Out. Check it out wherever you listen or download music.
Then you pop the finger out. Click it.
Jerry, have you heard of this new podcast called We the Exiles?
John, I actually have, and I've been listening to it quite a bit.
What's the best way to stay in touch with what's going on We the Exiles?
I have heard they have an incredible Twitter page.
What's their handle?
It is at We the Exiles.
Oh, found it. Following them now.
Sick.
Did anyone leave room?
Oh, maybe a little bit of pudding.
It's time for dessert.
You love your pudding.
Time for dessert.
Time for dessert. Thank you guys for listening into our podcast. We really genuinely appreciate it. It's been cool to see the plays going up. Our audience is increasing as this is our 16th episode. Right. So that's pretty cool. 16 in, and it's kind of gone by quick.
It's been enjoyable for me to have these discussions, partially because, anybody that knows me knows I like to talk. So this is a good platform for that, but not just for myself, but in the preparation and getting to look at these things, it's a great reminder for me and these important things.
Yeah, it's been really like encouraging for me and my faith just as we continue to talk about things. And it might be things that we've known, but it's refreshing. And also the conversations that we've had with the people that we've gotten on the show to be interviewed, that's been really encouraging, and it's been really cool. So we thank you guys for taking the time to listen in, and we hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, again, you can support us on patreon.com/seekerandservant, patreon.com/seekerandservant. There you can become what we call an exile. For $10 a month, $10, that's nothing. You buy a coffee for almost $10 at Starbucks. But $10 a month, you get early access to all our content, including Seeker and Servant stuff. You also get a really awesome, amazing mug. It's a We the Exiles mug. And and you just get the reward of helping, Christ Exalting Ministry and being a part of what we're doing, because we want it to be not just where you support us and you don't have a part, but we love for you to have a conversation with us. That's what's awesome about Patreon. It's a platform where you can interact with us. Anyway, just wanted to mention that again as we have reached the 16th episode.
We're trying to. We're kind of setting a little monthly goal. So June, we reached 10 supporters.
Right.
We're trying to get to 15, right, for July. So if you've been listening and want to support us, that's the way to do it, and help us get to the 15 or reach our 15 supporter goal by the end of July. And then, join in the conversation with us on Twitter at We the Exiles there. Today for our dessert, we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy 2, and it's going to be 9 through 15. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 15, in keeping in discussion with womanhood, this is a passage that relates to that. It says, "Also, the women are to dress themselves in modest clothing, with decency and good sense, not with elaborate hairstyles, gold pearls, or expensive apparel, but with good works, as is proper for women who profess to worship God. A woman is to learn quietly with full submission. I do not allow a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. Instead, she is to remain quiet, for Adam was formed first and Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and transgressed. But she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with good sense." And anytime you bring this one up, this one's, we're talking about bringing, open up a cage. we've had conversations surrounding particular parts of that passage. Because that is a big one in light of the modern day idea of feminism and things we talked about with Beth Moore earlier in the episode and just all these things surrounding, it's easy to look at that with that type of worldview and look, man, that's hateful. That's harmful, but it's not. And you have to understand it's not being said with arrogance.
Right.
It's being said with a regards to the standard, not being the world, but being God. And he uses the very first man and woman as a statement to that, to show that almost as an example why. Because Eve was deceived first. Does that make Eve any less valuable than Adam? No. But what he's saying is there's a design that God has outlaid, and this is why you follow that design.
Yeah.
Because men are designed, and they think in ways differently than women do. Mm-hmm. Does it mean women are less smart than men? No, but what it does mean is that women, when they play their respective role the way that God designed it, it works out better for them, just like it does when men do. God's rule and law is that men teach women, not women teach men. I didn't say that. Chandler didn't say that. God himself says that through his word. That's why we as Christians should value it, not because we think that it should be differently, or we feel like, well, that's unfair. We don't get to dictate fairness.
Yeah, and it's not a thing where it's like, you're a woman, so just sit in quiet and don't. I mean, that's not the point at all. The point is just living out the roles that God has.
Yeah, and being quiet in that is in regards to when a man's teaching, because you're not supposed to, just like when it comes to marriage and other areas of submission, usurp, like it said, man's authority, because that's the way God did it. Submission is a beautiful thing. Like we just had a discussion with our wives. It's Christ is the head, and then the man head of his home, and his submission. Understand, men are still submissive. We're submitting to Christ.
Yeah, and this is only, we're speaking only in the context that both the man and the woman are both.
Doesn't mean you can't be in ministry.
Seeking Christ.
There are many awesome women. Very many awesome, there's martyrs, women martyrs. There are women missionaries who have done amazing and powerful things in for the gospel and for the kingdom of God. And they're awesome. There are women writers. Women are just as valuable as men. It's just when it comes to the teaching role, when it involves men, men are supposed to teach over women. That's just how it is. But doesn't mean you can't lead a Bible study with other women. Doesn't mean you can't sow into women's lives. You have just as much as a mandate for the Great Commission being a woman as a man does. The way we play that out, though, specifically when it comes to church or congregations, there is a role that's been dictated by God, and that's just how God wants it. And the best thing we can do as Christian men and women is to give our authority to God, because God holds all the authority when it comes to those things.
Yeah, and it notes in that scripture too, it talks about modesty and self-control. And I think that goes hand in hand with kind of the authoritative role, because that's what we see in our culture. If you're concerned about, you know, looking so profound for people to acknowledge you, a lot of that is because of our innate sinful nature to, like, we both, like, men and women both struggle, you know, in our roles. It's not just some easy thing. We both are tempted by the lies of Satan to thwart God's design. But in that, a woman who is trying to look so good and profound in front of our culture, that goes hand in hand with kind of like wanting to have an authoritative position.
Right. And it says, as is proper for women who profess to worship God. So the call to modesty isn't because Christianity is funless. That's not the point. Or it's the person over your life is Christ. And so if you are a Christian, then you're in worship to him. So going against his call to modesty is actually going against the proper worship of God, is what it's saying. So you dressing like that, and you not adorning yourself in holiness, you know, in God's word and the way you dress, isn't because some man says, this is what you must do because you're causing me to sin. No, though it can lead men to sin, but it's because you are a beautiful daughter of God, and you should adorn yourself that way.
Yeah,
and it is a reflection of your worship to him.
And so, we speak more of that on the previous podcast, so if you haven't heard that, you can check that out. We released that Tuesday. We talked a little bit more about modesty. But yeah, the whole point here, and this goes for men too, is that we be seeking Christ. We need to be seeking Christ and what he has laid out for us in his word. And when we live that out, we see how beautiful and how well that works. So we encourage
God's design, commands, and statutes and his law, again, weren't giving to us to put us in a box. It's for our good. God loves us. God cares for his children, and his way of doing things is there to protect us and to actually make life better and more joyful. So we encourage you to seek that. We encourage you to seek his instruction in all things, and not for your glory, but for his.
Yeah. Stay tuned for next week. We're going to continue this and kind of tell off this little series that we've had, the manhood, womanhood, and we're going to come to a conclusion in marriage and what that should look like, and that will be on Tuesday. So we're going to be diving into the world of marriage and what God has laid out for us, how it should look, and what it's for. So stay tuned for that. Thank you guys again for joining us. We have thoroughly enjoyed this podcast. Until next time, set your eyes on Christ and fight the good fight. We'll see you next time.